should evangelicals deal with divorce and what Jesus says about it in Luke 16:18? That fantastic question is what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. I am Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you for joining us. So this is our second week of questions and answers. You can get your questions answered by Bob and Sean by sending an email to radio@faithalone.org. Now I want to get right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, welcome back to the show. We're glad that you're listening to us and you keep on listening. I hope that if you're hearing us for the first time, you can hear previous episodes, and we've done about 400 so far.
Is that right, Sean?
Man, we never even really thought of doing this. But if you want to listen to those 400 episodes or so that we've recorded already, go to faithalone.org. You can go to iTunes, you can go to Stitcher, and keep on listening to this station. Well, we're taking your questions today, and this is a question from Danny. And Danny says, why do 98% of evangelicals ignore Jesus' words in Luke 16:18? Basically, what does Luke 16:18 say here? It says, whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery, and whoever marries her who is divorced from her husband commits adultery. So I guess this is a question about marriage and divorce, and maybe what Danny is saying is, there are lots of remarried divorced people in evangelical churches, and why aren't we taking that as a serious issue?
Right. I think the problem, and I have seen this email, and I wrote a blog in response to it at our website, faithalone.org. What I told Danny in my response was that the Lord Jesus taught for over 3 years. He taught daily, out in public and in private. Ed Lineman, who used to be a liberal New Testament scholar and became an evangelical and very conservative, she estimated that at the very least, Jesus taught about 2 hours a day, minimum.
Right.
And she said, if you put that together into books, it would be hundreds of 200-page books. Mm. And all we get in the Gospels is a very little fragment of what Jesus taught. And she said the fact that there are differences between Matthew, Mark, and Luke is best explained by the fact that if there are significant differences, because Jesus taught on more than one occasion. And he may have given the same basic story more than once. For example, the parable of the minas in Luke 19 is clearly related to the parable of the talents in Matthew 25, but they're different parables. And the Lord taught the same basic thing more than once. Same thing is probably true with the parable of the four soils in Matthew, Mark, and Luke.
But I think what you're saying is it's probably also true about what he taught about divorce.
Yeah, okay, so I was getting off into the weeds. Okay, thank you for bringing me back. So it is related to divorce because in Matthew 19:9 and Matthew 5:32, the Lord tells the same basic thing but with an exception. Right. And what I told Danny is, you can't ignore the exception. If you do, then you're not being accurate. So read
Matthew 5:32 says, but I say to you that whoever divorces his wife for any reason except sexual immorality causes her to commit adultery, and whoever marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery. So in Luke 16:18, it sounds like if you get divorced or remarried for any reason, you're committing adultery. But if you compare it with Matthew, there's an exception.
Right. And so what Luke is stating is God's desire, no divorce, no remarriage. But what Matthew 5:32 and also Matthew 19:9 is stating is the exception that God allows for but does not command. In other words, he doesn't say if your husband or your wife commits porneia. Porneia is sexual immorality. It's not moikeia, which is adultery.
Right.
So it's broader than adultery. It includes adultery. But let's say when I was on staff with Campus Crusade for Christ, one of our support couples, the husband left his wife for another man.
Mm.
I don't think you call that adultery. I think you call that porneia.
Okay, okay.
Or homosexuality or whatever you want to call it.
Right.
But it's not exactly adultery because he wasn't going with another woman. That led to a divorce. And in my opinion, based on Matthew 19:9 and 5:32, she would have been free to remarry.
Right, because this was the exception. This was biblical grounds for divorce.
Right, but you don't have to.
Right.
Lots of couples have had situations where there have been porneia involved, and the spouse chooses to stay married. And that's preferable.
They reconcile.
They reconcile. But they are free to divorce. And then, of course, the other question is, does the exception clause apply to both divorce and remarriage? There are people who say, well, you can divorce, but you can't remarry. I'm convinced it applies to both. When I was at Dallas Seminary, Bill Heth was there, and he wrote his master's thesis at Dallas Seminary on divorce and remarriage. Mm. And he concluded Matthew 19:9 and 5:32 was referring to forbidden degrees of kinship during the courtship period or the betrothal period, because in Jewish custom, you were married even before you came together.
So explain that a little bit more to me. What is this degrees of kinship?
Forbidden degrees of kinship, the Old Testament law says you cannot marry, for example, your sister or your aunt or your uncle or certain relatives.
No kissing cousins.
Right.
Here.
And so Bill Heth wrote his, and basically what he was saying is, there really was no exception. It would simply be if you discovered before you had actually consummated the marriage, because remember that in Jewish practice, for example, Joseph was betrothed to Mary before they ever consummated the marriage.
Right.
He was considering putting her away, divorcing her privately. That's what Bill Heth thought this was about. The interesting thing is Bill ended up writing a book about it, became an authority on it, taught it for about 20 years when he was at Taylor University, and then about 10 or 15 years ago, I was talking to him, and he changed his mind, and he concluded that actually Matthew 19:9 and Matthew 5:32 are teaching that porneia is a legitimate exception for homosexuality, incest, adultery. So he changed his view. And I think that's the most natural understanding of Matthew 5:32 and 19:9. So should we avoid divorce and remarriage? Yes. But if your spouse is guilty of porneia, you are allowed to divorce and remarry even though you're not required.
What about this situation? I mean, people would divorce for all kinds of reasons, right? And let's say you just have two Christians and they're just tired of each other.
Right.
They're just tired of being married, or maybe there's financial problems and they divorce.
Right.
And they both get remarried. Is that a church discipline issue at that point or what?
It is a church discipline issue.
I mean, when people join the church, should we be asking questions, you know, how did you get married? Are you remarried? Why did you get divorced? I mean, is that something that we should be investigating?
Well, it is, because when people come into a church, you know, especially lots of churches where they come in by letter, like a Baptist church like you're in, you really don't know anything about the person, and if the previous church hasn't been exercising due diligence, this person may be out of fellowship with God.
Mm.
I think we should be doing that sort of thing, but the problem comes with, what do you do? Now you've got a couple that's come into your church, they're divorced, they're remarried, or one of them is divorced and they've remarried, and there wasn't legitimate grounds, they've disobeyed God, but they're repentant.
Yeah.
Well, the thing to do is not now get another divorce to make that right. No, they're married now.
Right.
Right? So now,
except in the Old Testament, remember when the Israelites married all those Gentiles? And who was it, Ezra or who? I forget who it was.
Yeah, they were to put away.
They had to put them away.
Of course, in that situation, they were adding a wife to their previous wife in most cases. But that was a little bit a different case. But it seems to me the point would be not that you are supposed to now add another divorce.
Yeah.
And then these people are to stay celibate, or now they're free to remarry or something. No, it seems to me what you do is they're to be faithful in this current context. But you need to know that they are repentant, that they realize what they did was wrong. If they realize it and they're like, you know, I shouldn't have done that.
I mean, basically, we don't really have a clear command about what to do in that situation. And so it seems like a lot of churches have just decided, I don't know. In one way, you can say they've just decided to ignore it. But on the other side, you might say, well, they've decided to err on the side of graciousness, I guess. I'm not quite sure.
I think what we should do is this. If someone is in your church and they divorce their spouse with no biblical reasons and marry somebody else, then you exercise church discipline in your church. If someone comes in from somewhere else, it's a little bit different. But if they're in your church, the elders or the leaders of your church are responsible to oversee the health of the church. And so they would be watching. And of course, if you saw this was starting to happen, you would counsel them. Let me give you an example. I have a friend who pastors a church in North Carolina. He heard a report that one of his elders was having an affair. And so he went to the elder and confronted him, and the guy said, I was, but I've repented, and that's not going on anymore. I've taken care of it. Yeah. He then heard that the guy was continuing to have this affair and that he was parking his vehicle in front of this woman's house late at the night.
So even though he denied it, there are reports that no, it was still going on.
So this pastor friend of mine, because he had children in college, had to make some extra money, and so he was delivering newspapers to convenience stores and things at like 4:35 in the morning. He would take papers and deliver them. So one morning when he was doing that, before he went to the first convenience store, he went by this house to see if his friend's vehicle was in front of the house, and sure enough, it was.
Mm-mm.
And this was like 4:15 in the morning.
Oh, boy.
So then he confronted his friend again, and his friend confessed and repented and went back to his wife, and his wife took him back.
Mm.
Well, that man is now a pastor of another Free Grace church in North Carolina.
Wow. All
so right. God used this pastor who confronted his friend, and by the way, when he did confront him, the man was no longer an elder in his church. He lost that position.
Right.
And he had to go through a time of restoration, but he went through that, and it was a success story. So his question, I think, is a good one. Yes, we should do something about it, but we need to realize if there are biblical grounds for divorce, like if, let's say, this elder's wife had divorced him and she had remarried, there would have been no sin, in my opinion, in that case. She didn't, and I think it's good she didn't. It's a good thing if you can keep marriages together, both for the marriage and for the children.
So maybe an answer to Danny's question, why do 98% of evangelicals ignore Jesus' words in Luke 16:18? We could say, well, don't ignore Jesus' words in Matthew 5:32, because that sheds an important exception.
Right.
Well, thank you for that very hard question, Danny. If you have any question at all, hard or easy, send them to radio@faithalone.org. We'd love to hear from you.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Did you miss an episode of Grace and Focus that you really wanted to hear? Just come to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. And we have all our past episodes right there on the site. In addition to this, we have all kinds of other free resources available for you. It's all designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On this program, we keep our requests for financial partners to a minimum. But if you are interested in becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus, you can find out how to do that also at faithalone.org. Our team is really great about answering questions, comments, and feedback. If you've got some, we hope to hear from you. Let me give you our email address so you can do just that. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Well, tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about the phrase saving one's soul, so you don't want to miss that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep Grace in Focus.